Well, let's open our Bibles tonight, brothers and sisters, going back into 1 Timothy, and we're getting to nearing the end of this instruction and encouragement here that we have to the good minister. The Timothys, praise God, of this age, and I thank the Lord as I'm encouraged to say that because I know the Lord is speaking to myself, He's speaking to you. As I look out, praise the Lord for the great love wherewith we are loved. I thank the Lord for this encouragement. I thank God for His calling and His choosing. I thank God that He's anointed us with a purpose and a desire to speak His truth in love. And in that, brothers and sisters, God so divinely encourages us to care for the body of Christ, encourages us into that great love. And that's the brotherly love, the Philadelphia church. I'm so thankful to the Lord that God is exercising that, not in any way that we've attained. We are running, and God knows that His grace is causing us to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I thank Him for that evidence, and Lord knows we need that. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, how the love of God is manifest in the saints in this meeting, and I'm grateful for that. It's so encouraging. We get weary at times, and I'm so thankful for the supplying of the joints in the body. And it's important. And again, I was thinking this past week about the coals in a fire and how Brother Hill used to talk about, well, if you take one off of that fire and you set it aside, it could have been as hot and fiery and as red looking as could be. But once you separate it from those other fiery coals, it can grow cold. It can even go out. God help us to, I think about that stirring up, stirring up, stirring up. Stir me up in the center of that stuff. Get me even more fiery. Because it's the fiery ones that are going to win His best, the ones that are like Him. And I'm so thankful, again, that this portion of Scripture is encourage us on into His very mind, His heart, and His true care one for another. And again, that only comes from the head. Always know that. That supplying that we would ever have always comes from Him. And thanks be to God that we can be emptied vessels to Him that He pours forth, that He fills up. And again, the vessel used for the usefulness of the husband. But we left off in the fifth chapter in the 20th verse. And I was thinking again, the tremendous wealth that God gives us in this fifth chapter, the love and the wisdom in dealing with one another, the encouragement, brothers and sisters, in our interaction with one another, whether it's the mothers and the fathers, in a sense, the elderly ones, or the youth, or the widows, or the elders. God is He's so caring and He's so perfect. And I was rejoicing with a sister this week how God is so into the details. And I'm so thankful those details are His. And so thankful to God that He's working, and He's working mightily, and He's working in everything. But as we approach this 20th verse, and I'm so thankful again in His perfectness, having us end in the 19th verse last week, and I mean this very sincerely. There's times He'll divinely tell me where we're going, but most of the time it's just, honey, get on, and we're going. And we'll kind of stop it here or stop it there. And I was thinking again how perfect our God is. Because as we pick it up into this 20th verse, this is a verse that is so often taken on its own out of context. It's a verse, and you understand, see, the enemy, the devil did that, twisting scriptures and things of that nature when he's trying to tempt Christ in the wilderness. And we need to know how to rightfully divide the truth. And God, by His Spirit, enables us because He's for that. He wants that. He wants us to know the gospel of Christ. And He gives us His mind freely to know it. But so many take this verse outside of its meaning. And the reason is because we want to serve the creature more than the Creator. We want to serve our flesh, and that's really what this is all about. We're going to try to have hierarchy. We're going to try to show you how good I am and how I can hammer down on people, and I'm going to show you that, you know, I can march the devil right out of you or something of that nature, and it's just sickness because it's just that dirty old self-righteousness. But we need to rightfully divide this verse, and let's go ahead and read verse 20 of the fifth chapter. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Now, we have just gone through so much teaching and preaching here in this fifth chapter about these elders. And that's what we just ended with as we approach this verse. And the tender tone that was used in dealing with elders has just ceased. That stopped. There's a different tone here, brothers and sisters, because this tone now is to them that sin before all. These are ones, brothers and sisters, that there is a need for them, and especially in this verse 2, for the body of Christ, that the deed, the discord of these defiant ones be rebuked before all. Now, I want us to understand very clearly that in Scripture, we are always encouraged to cover the sin of our brother. The Scripture tells us, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. We learned over and over throughout the Word of God, but maybe nowhere better than in Noah with his sons. When Noah was caught in that drunken state and the things that went on, and he was naked, and the one son looked upon his nakedness, and that son was cursed. That son was cursed. You'll read that about Ham and how he was cursed. But the other two sons went in backwards to cover their father. They didn't even look upon the nakedness as they were covering it. And I think if there is ever anything more clear than we as Christians with our brethren in Christ, when ones make a mistake, when ones that we know the very heart of God that's encouraged in their life, you know what? We're human and we fail. God help us to restore. God help us not to hammer one another. God help us not to try to discourage one another from going on in the things of God, but to restore to that fellowship. This is not a verse that says, now let's go parade around somebody in their mistake, or here, let's have them get up before the whole congregation and confess what they've done, and let's just bring ridicule and despise to them. See, the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters, does not conflict itself. It's very evident that in this passage of Scripture, in the tone that changes so quickly, there is a difference here than just a mistake. There is a difference here in someone that may have had a failing. These are ones, as it says here, them that are bent to miss the mark. These are the ones that we've read about that swerve from the truth. Brothers and sisters, this is about truth we're talking about here. And it's the responsibility of elders. It's the responsibility of a pastor in those sad times, for that person's sake, and especially for the sake and the edification of the body, to rebuke that sin openly. To understand that there was a defiance towards the things of God. And that by grace in this meeting has happened. And that by grace will continue to happen in this meeting when it's needed. But the thing that I'm thankful for about when this meeting over the years has addressed these things, it wasn't the person that was rebuked. It was the sin. And that's very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that this is the enemy and his devices that we're dealing with here, and we understand that the Word of God never changes. And even though these things can be hard and appear to be harsh, we need to know and to be reminded of the consequences of sin and the consequences of departing from the truth. Galatians talks about the bewitching that can happen, brothers and sisters, when we seek after self-righteousness and those types of things, when we go after pride and what it does to a person. And as Galatians goes on to tell us that there's feet that become lame and people become hindered. And brothers and sisters, this is about winning God's best. Amen. And I pray that this is a body that is encouraged in the love of God, that better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. And I pray God continue to have his way, that again, it's done always in love. I'm thankful to the Lord the things that this meeting has been through, and it will go on to talk about some more things here tonight, but I'm grateful to God for the love that the Lord has given and the love that the Lord has encouraged us in, that there's, isn't it wonderful? We want and seek and desire fellowship. It doesn't matter. We want our fellowship to be in the gospel of Christ, and we want anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter who they are, what they did, what we did. By God's grace, you take grace and you want to fellowship. God so sweetly talked about the prodigal. God so sweetly tells us about that one lamb. God is a God of great mercy. And I'm thankful again for the love that he's given us. But let's go ahead and read verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now this is vital, brothers and sisters, again, that we have the very heart of God, that we're not a respecter of persons here, that we submit one to another as unto the Lord. And yes, the Lord has caused different places in the body. There's different positions, even in a meeting. There's elders and pastors and teachers and all of these different things. But the Lord encourages us on to always honor, praise God, a son of God. How wonderful. Now, there are, we give thanks to ones that God has given us to preach his word and all of these things, but God help us to remember there is not one part of the body that is not vital to the whole. I'm so thankful for that. I love how the word of the God says that where would the hearing be without an ear? Where would the seeing be without an eye? I was thinking, where would the balance be without toes? Where would grasping be without fingers? How could the fingers get there without the elbow? All of these different things working in perfect harmony. And we have to have, so thankful, and we do have a whole body, and God help us to encourage it for its proper functioning. And how that happens is we love. That's the need, is the love and the truth and love for the body. I remember early on in pastoring, there was such a sad, in a sense, reminding of, as it says, without partiality here. I remember sitting down with a man, and I've known him for some time, and he attended a big church and here in town, and I know of the pastor there, and, you know, not that I wanted to know very much, and I certainly didn't want to know this, but he'd been going there about 15 years, and this man that I was eating with was just so sad, and I said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, you know, my pastor so-and-so, and he said, yeah, and I said, well, you know, we were eating together, and I wanted him to visit with this man, and I pointed out to him, I kind of knew the guy, and he was across the way, and, you know, he was dressed kind of shabbily, wasn't, you know, necessarily the best dressed or anything of that nature. And the pastor, he knew that this man had a need and had a need for the things of God. And this man said, well, the pastor said, I don't have any time. And he honestly said to this guy, he said, you kind of look at that guy and we need a little bit bigger ones. He doesn't look like he has much. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. And he was just weeping as he told me this. And he said, I was just so convicted. And he says, and I can't go to church there anymore. And I said, well, I don't blame you. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, God help us not to just rub elbows with ones we think that we need to rub elbows with. That we're going to get something out of, that we want to hang with this happening one, or things of that nature. Let me tell you something, you're low if you really love God, and so it's a wonderful thing to condescend to men of low estate, your buddies. So that's a precious thing, and God help us to see, that's the love of Christ. See, he came to the needy. He came to the ones that were rejected and despised by the world. He came to those that were not, in a sense, of the happening. Thank God that he said there's not many. many mighty, not many wise. He didn't say any. He's no respecter of person, but he knows the heart of the wise and the mighty. The heart of the wise and the mighty doesn't often think of the things of God. But anymore, let me tell you something, the hearts and souls of the needy don't think of God much anymore. It's amazing. There's just a famine for the word of God. And the man's conscience has been seared with a rod of hot iron. And let me tell you something. The enemy's no respecter of person either. He wants everybody. He wants to get at anybody to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we need to know these things. But I thank him again for what he's given us here. And this is, again, the rejoicing that I pray that we have in this meeting. See, sometimes I'm thankful God spoiled you. God has spoiled me. His children are spoiled. And I'm thankful to the Lord, and let him spoil you. And I give God the glory for it. But how thankful I am that we know that we're one in Christ, that we know that there is neither Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free nor male or even female. Isn't that wonderful? We are one in him. And I thank God. I really do. It is so beautiful what we have in this meeting, the diversity that we have. Praise God. All types of vessels. Praise his name. All looking different. But we praise him because it's the same treasure in each and every one of us. And that's what it's all about. And I thank the Lord for that. This is, if you took a picture of our city and our community, here it is. Praise the Lord. He's not a respecter of person. And the love of God is not a respecter of person. And hallelujah, I'm so thankful that we do want everyone that wants the things of God, walk through that door. Even if you don't want the things of God, I hope that you will if you walk through that door. But praise his name for that. And that's the love of Christ. You would be surprised how many meetings there are that only want this type or that type. And God help us I appreciate, and I will say this, I'm thankful that we have ladies' Bible studies and different things like that and all. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, this is what I'm thankful for, that we come together. I'm grateful to God that we don't need to just minister to this or to that. And I know that the men need encouragement at times. I know that the ladies need encouragement at times. But God help us to understand this. It's the word of the Lord. And we are one in him. And there is neither male nor female when we really get it. Amen. I know we all have different needs, but let me tell you something. It's all found in one place, and that's at the throne of grace. Praise his name. All right. Verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Take that a lot of ways. Neither be a partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Now, this is another thing that's practiced by so many churches today. Keep everybody busy. Give everybody a title. Let them feel special because of something that we can give you of ourself in our church. You can be the keeper of that, and you can be the entrustee of this, and make you feel that you're really something, but not because of Jesus. And I'll tell you something, you've missed the boat completely in that. And now you kind of understand when those types of things are encouraged and stressed, you understand why most of God's precious people don't know anything about the Word of God. Because they're trying to entertain you with feeling and with sensations as opposed to building faith in your life. And faith comes one way, and that's by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I always appreciate how Brother Hill dealt with most of the people that ever come into this church. I'm sure everybody's coming in. Sit down. Be quiet, listen. That's kind of the whole process of what happens, and you feed. And I'm thankful to God that that's what it's about. It's I think of Sister Lydia. That's what she was already and excited about her first time here and all this. And he just said, go sit down and listen. And let me tell you something. That sweet sister sat down and listened, fed, and my oh my, what was meeting him face to face. Praise be to God. So, and that happened awful fast. I'll tell you what. See, time's nothing to God, and you have a willing heart, he'll take you from a dunghill to you can't even imagine. Praise his name. But, you know, people are being robbed in this. And what it is, and we'll get it into it the next chapter, but see, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And don't fool yourself. You know, you might not see it in greenbacks, but it might be in buildings. It might be in all of these things. Pride's a big one too. Numbers. Oh, how many do we got here? How big of a crowd can we get together? And what happens as you go after the money, as you go after the crowds, as you go after trying to build something? And again, I testified to you early on how when the Lord called me again into pastoring, I sat down with that pastor, and he was one of the assistant of 26 pastors. I never even knew that they had that many pastors at this church. And I was just dumbfounded. I said, well, why do you need that many? And he says, well, you know, there's some people that come here that believe in eternal security and some that don't, and some that believe in infilling with the speaking in tongues and some that don't. And some of and I'm just sitting there, I'm horrified. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you give them a menu of, you know, well, it's a pick and choose kind of thing at our meeting. And he just kind of shook his head and he said, you are naive, aren't you? How do you think you get 5,000 people in a church? Good God, good devil, good everybody. Give them what they want to hear. You know, you get them all together, you get them all pumped up, but then you get in your little groups. It is sad. It's evil to God, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. But see, what happens when you go after those types of things is things become watered down. Not just watered down. You're talking about compromise in our left and distorted. Error comes in. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Finally, as our pastor used to say many times, God forbid there would ever be Ichabod written over this door. The glory of the Lord has departed. You know, but that's what happens when you make steps after those things. I was thinking recently, the Lord had me reading of the kings there in 1 Kings, and there was one named Jeroboam. And he was all about this, I call it rampant ordaining. He was into ordaining everybody, you know, and we're going to make priests out of everybody. And God said, no, 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 that's an evil thing. And I think about how sweet Paul said it so wonderfully. Paul, not an apostle of man, but of God, of Jesus Christ and the will of God. And that never changes. When it's of Christ, it never changes. It's the same way always. And I thank him for that. And see how God protects us, because sometimes when you start looking at these things and you start looking at others as opposed to looking up, you'll try to follow certain ways. You'll try to mimic or pattern to say, well, maybe we need to do that. Maybe that will help us get here. And that was going on in a certain thing that I went to last year, and it just broke my heart, because, you know, we were going to get the big bands in, and we're going to get this in, and it was interesting, because then the Grace and Glory message was going out. And that's truth. Sister was there with me. And it just breaks your heart. But the Word of God is true. It's true. It's truth. It's exact. It's right every time. It will tell you the beginning and the end. It'll tell you everything in between. It'll tell you exactly how it's going to be. And it never changes. And you can think you can approach it this way, and you can think you can approach it that way. But I'll tell you what, the result from departing from the truth, I'll tell you, is a horrible thing. And when you enter in to those things, you're entering into others' sins. And again, these ones, these churches, whatever, that do these types of things, God help us to be protected from being tempted to go that way. And that's why we need to pray fervently. See, it's not of ourselves, brothers and sisters. If we left it up to ourselves, we'd go after anything and everything. We'd be like the church in Corinth. My goodness. And anything goes meeting. You have trapeze artists and different things like that. Smoke mirrors and big screens and all of these different things. Now, I rejoice however Christ is preached, but I sure love that perfect way. And I thank God that he's given it. And I thank God that, you know, to given the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Praise God for the gospel story. We thank him for that. Okay, verse 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, talk another verse that can get blown out of context and go a lot of different ways. But I was thinking of this, it really is implying here, you know, Timothy needed to be encouraged. And, you know, he was a devout man in the things of God. And I'm sure, and I thank the Lord, he thought it best to stay away from maybe these types of things. But however, Paul was encouraging him as well, too, is, you know, Timothy, on your journeys, you're going to become weary. There's different things that will face you. You might even go into places where water might not be very good either. Who knows? I don't know what the reasoning was, but I'm talking even on the surface here. We're going to talk about the depth of this meaning here in a minute. But I do encourage you, a little wine. It's so precious how the word of the Lord brings this out. A little wine. And I don't want to get into the argument with somebody. It's amazing what we can try to fuss over. Well, that was grape juice. No, it was wine. No, it was grape juice. And the alcohol content. And, you know, let's get... It's nuts. Stop. Stop it. Stop it. Just read the word of the Lord. But it says here that a little wine is good for the stomach. And I'm thankful how the Lord brings this out, that... you know, if you really read this, naturally speaking here, is that wine, I know that some like the taste of it and different things, but we should look at it as naturally to be an aid to the body. And I think about how science has come along and found out exactly what God already told them, that a little wine, and I really want to underscore that, because it's amazing how little it is. I was, again, reading about how many drinks for a lady, possibly, and for a man, and all these things, and I hope you're not crawling under the pew right now as I'm talking about these things, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I'm thankful to the Lord that He reveals Himself even in nature. See, God knows His product. God knows what He's developed. God knows His grapes. God knows what these things do, and they found out that, yes, there is some medicinal benefit for different things in our bodies. But I also want you to understand that wine in excess, as the Word of God tells us very clearly, is troublesome. We give in to that, and our lives are going to be a shipwreck, and we know that. You cannot tempt these things and or let these things tempt you in that and go over into it, because that way will be a way of wreck. But that is on the surface here, and I love the depth of the meanings of the Word of God, and in this wine, we understand that speaks of the Spirit, and we've been in a chapter, I should say in a letter here to Timothy, who really needs an encouragement in the Lord for a stirring and a stirring up, and what better than the Spirit, this wine? And I was thinking back there in Proverbs 31:6, and if you remember, Proverbs 31 is about the virtuous woman. And right before it starts to talk about the virtuous woman, it mentions about wine and giving wine to the dying, giving wine to those with heavy hearts. And again, this isn't promoting to get out there and let's just have a big wine fest so we can drink too much. But what this is really speaking of here is the encouragement and how vital it is that we do have a need of the Holy Ghost. And a continuing need of the Holy Ghost, that fullness of the Holy Ghost, and to be encouraged in the Holy Ghost. We had some precious studies and sermons on just the refreshing and the intimacy that we have in speaking in the tongue that God has given us in the Holy Ghost. I love that. There is a need for that, brothers and sisters. As it says to follow Paul as he followed Christ, and I'll bring this out again. He said, I'm glad I speak more than ye all. There was a reason for the joy in that man. There was a reason that by God's grace, he could write the joy book of the Bible in the depths of the most stinky prison you could ever imagine. And it was because of the joy of the Holy Ghost. The one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. I'm sure that that man, even in that filth and all those things, and again, that's an evidence of different things. I know ones that have a wonderful encouragement to pray in tongues and things of that nature, but I also know that there are certain lives that have that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost and, again, that joy of speaking in tongues, but yet they're caught in legality. They think that they can lose their salvation at any moment. So again, that's not the evidence of the full overcomer in Christ either, but it is a precious evidence that I am so thankful to God that we can have in our lives as full overcomers in Christ. Amen? Amen. It's a comfort. Isn't it a comfort? There's times I'm just so distraught. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. I'm so brokenhearted. I'm so sad. And yet God just comes in and, praise the Lord, we just go off speaking in another language. And I love it. And it comforts me. There's a peace. I'm so thankful that this thing just shuts off. And God, it's all yours. Let's just praise you and encourage my life in it. And some of the hardest, darkest times of my life, and I do remember so divinely when the meeting was going through its stress so many years ago. I remember that night when all of those things broke out, all I could do was lay on the floor and praise him in tongues. And that was my pacifier. That was my comfort. That and again, that's the comforter. Praise God. And the Lord help us to understand these things, that we need this. And this wine here, as it says, give it to this spirit, especially to the dying and the ones in a heavy heart. You have a heavy heart, best place to be is on an altar or at your home praising him in the Holy Ghost. But we see again that this wine, this fullness, renews life, grows the life up, lifts that heavy heart, and it does it every time. And all I can say is thank you and praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up in verse 24 and 25. It says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. As I read this, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we really need to pray. Pray one for another, and pray truly that true ministers, thank you, God, we need wisdom. We need a lot of wisdom. We're going to face things all the time that we don't know anything about. I'm so thankful how the Lord brought me into the ministry. I didn't have any cutting my teeth time. I didn't assist in anything. I did not know anything. And praise God, I want to stay in that same state. Lord, I know nothing. Sergeant Schultz. No, I just, but what am I thinking? But I thought it was a cute show. Okay. But I'm so grateful to God that he knows everything. And I think about sweet Peter, and that's how he finally got it. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. You know my heart. You gave me my heart. You know how to deal with this situation. And I'm thankful that we, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask him. He gives it liberally. He gives it freely. I'm thankful I was encouraged of that even as a little guy, stressing about things. And see, the Lord knew what a vessel that I would need a lot of grace, because I seem to stress more about things, maybe worry more about things. Like I've said many times, I think I got that worry gene a little bit from my dad, but that's just the more grace you need. It's not, oh, I wish I didn't have it. No, Lord, give me more grace to deal with it. He's made you. He's geared you exactly how you need to be geared to win his best. Isn't that wonderful? And you're not geared like me, and I'm not geared like you, and praise be to God, but he's doing the same perfect work. And it's just so wonderful how his grace does it all. But we trust him for these things. But you see, brothers and sisters, we need this wisdom, and we need this wisdom in love, because some things, as the word lays out here, they're going to be plain, they're going to be obvious, but sometimes there's things that are hidden. There's things that might not be there. And I know sometimes there's people that'll stress, oh my goodness, you don't realize. People say, oh, you don't realize this person's calculating to do this, and you haven't heard about this. Well, God knows all that. Amen. God knows it all. Nothing's hid from him. And this is his. This isn't mine. This is his. Amen, it is. And he takes care of it. Now, he'll use his vessels, and praise be to God, he'll encourage things at certain time. And yes, we have to deal with things as he says, I'm going to use you, but I'm still dealing with it. But I want you to understand I'm going to use you, because this is going to magnify me. This is going to glorify the Father and the Son. Now, watch us do this. But I will tell you, most of the time, and it's so sweet, I'm so thankful, God just has me sit down, stand back, do absolutely nothing, and just watch his mighty hand. Best show there is, and praise be to God how he does it. And we trust him in that, and it's wonderful what he does and the increase that he brings. And brothers and sisters, it's real and it's true. You read the stories of the Word of God in the Old Testament. They're happening today. It's so grateful to God. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It happens in this meeting. It happens in your home. You're the apple of His eye. Trust Him for it. I'm so thankful, as we read about the prophet, as that little guy was with him. He's, oh, we're all surrounded and everything. And he just prayed, said, Lord, let his eyes see what I see. Whew, the chariots everywhere. Praise the Lord. That's the reality. Remember, what our eyes are seeing naturally, nothing's going to be here. It's the things that are unseen. And thanks be to God, I can see those unseen things in truth, in believing. Amen? And that's what it is, the way of escape. I can see that way of escape. Used to never see a lot of way of escapes, but now I see the way of escape. Praise the Lord. He's, again, it's nothing of me. It's just believing the Word of God. And I'm so thankful He's not a respecter of person. He wants that for every single one of us. But see, we don't need to worry about things, brothers and sisters, because the Lord does not leave us ignorant of the devil's devices. It's amazing how He'll bring things to light, because that's what His light does. It always brings things to light. And God, and His light is His Word, and we look into that, and thankful to Him how He protects us. But see, God help us, too, to not be caught up. As there's so much influence here, or I should say it insinuates here, to not be slothful in His goodness to us either. And I mean that. Not to grow weary in well-doing. And I'm not just talking about in our homes caught up into pleasures. I'm talking about even in this church. You know, we've been greatly blessed. God has blessed us. But let's understand that all of the greatly blessed always comes from one thing, and that's His Word. And God help us to always rejoice in that. And I'm thankful again. I give God all the credit because He's the only one you could give credit to. But how He protects us from this. I thank the Lord how when people might come into the meeting and they see, you know, how nice some of the structures are. And we have a gym and we have these different things. It was sweet to hear a man call me yesterday, and he and his wife are, God willing, going to come this Sunday, and they have children, and he was wondering about some of the classes for the kids and different things of that nature. And I said, I thank the Lord that, you know, He's given us a good little population of young people, and we have them at each and every age group and things of that nature. And he says, that's important to my wife and I. And I said to him, I said, but I want to make sure you understand this. When these kids come into these classes, they're going to know the Word of God. They're going to be taught the Word of the Lord. We have a wonderful gym, but it's not about the climbing wall or the basketball hoops or things of that nature. It's about the Word of the Lord. And the beautiful thing is when you speak and preach that truth in love, it transforms, it changes, and there's a joy. And by God's grace, there's a building up. And then, you know, you have young people that actually come into a church as babies and as teenagers and things of that nature. And you know what? They actually continue to stay. It's a rare thing to have people that have been in meetings for so long. It is. Church jumping is very popular. Even amongst Grace churches, it's kind of a sad thing. I'm thankful to the Lord of what He's given us, because God help us, you know, we do need to endure the hardness as good soldiers. And when you come into the Word of God, there's going to be affliction at certain times. There's going to be, you know, because it's in His faithfulness He has afflicted thee. You know that. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we know diamonds cut diamonds. I'm thankful to the Lord that we know that these are the things that grow us up. That it's not, well, I'm so offended, I'm going to go to this church. It's about the message. It's about the Word of the Lord. And I don't want to promote that you be the cutting diamond. I know I've been there. I'm sure that there'll be times that I will be there. But I really want to be, by God's grace, and I want you to be, those ones that are set in a crown, the ones that are just cut on. And but the Lord uses us in His grace, because you know what? We need to know that we're fallible. Yes, we do. Those thorns that we have, brothers and sisters, they're beautiful to Him. Most beautiful thing there is. He loves you just the way He made you. He knows you. He does. He really knows you. And it's beautiful how beautiful we are to Him. But as we close this, what this is really all getting at This was much like when Paul in Corinthians there, when they had to censure, stop the fellowship with that disobedient brother. This is talking about to discord in a meeting, other things that the Lord would hate. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, they must be dealt with, and they must be dealt with by the minister, the pastor, or elders in the church. And there comes a time when censuring or this parting of fellowship comes down, and it's a very difficult time. I'm thankful to the Lord that it's a time where that we that are spiritual, and I'm thankful to the Lord that we have spiritual elders in this place. We restore because of God. Ye that are spiritual, we cover. We don't make it public because this is the Lord's work. This isn't some grand committee of judgment. I hope you understand that. This is the word of the Lord. We're just vessels. Praise the Lord that he's called, and so preciously he performs in the good work. And it's to his glory and to his honor. But even when these things happen, brothers and sisters, see, the thing that we need to abound in is hope, and the hope and expectation that these ones that may have been caught up into this dark time, that the good work of repentance through a humbling before God bursts forth in their life, that there comes a great moment of breaking before the Lord. It's a precious thing. It's a precious reunion. There's nothing like that restored fellowship, because it doesn't even go back to the level of fellowship you had. It's increased. He's a God of better. You know what I'm saying? It's sweeter. And I can't tell you how precious it is to my heart to obey God. Because I don't want to, naturally. Can you imagine that at times? Because my goodness gets in the way. Lord, I don't want to do that. And praise be to God for his grace, because it causes me to do that. And then to watch the beauty of the Lord. And it sometimes is a time, and sometimes it takes time. But God's always on time, and God's timing is perfect. And I ask you, really pray. I know you pray, because God answers prayer, and look what God's done. But you pray for me. Amen. I mean it. You pray for me. You pray for your elders, and you pray for one another. Because what we have is so absolutely beautiful. So beautiful. And there's more. Can you imagine? There'll be more and more and more. Neutral you cannot be. There's going to be more groaning. There is. There's always pain with growing. Amen? Amen. I believe we're almost becoming. Who knows? Were we glory in our infirmities? You think we're a bunch of nuts like that? Oh, Lord, that's the best of times. Because when I'm weak, you're strong. The very power of Christ rests upon me. Only grace can do that. You could read it a billion times over, and it would never work effectually, but for the grace of God. Because you know, it's his plan, it's his purpose, it's his power, and it's just the way he is. Honey, I got to show myself off in you. Watch me. I want to show you how faithful I am in you. Watch me. I'm going to bring you to a place. I'm going to bring you to something that's so beyond you, something that's maybe mowed you down time and time again, destroyed your family in generation after generation after generation. Here's all the fear. Watch me, honey. It's the best place to be. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. I see him do it time and time and time again. Time and time and time again. The way out of the no way. Oh, brother, you're just promoting this. Or no, I'm not. I'm just letting God. I'm preach the word, and God's evident in how we function and what he's after and all of these different things. But I'll tell you what. I've read enough, And by the grace of God, he's encouraged my heart to see that, yeah, it didn't have to be that way, but it had to be. David, I had to take you to this place, honey. Moses, Jacob, Esther, Ruth, Naomi, Peter, Paul, Mary, come on. And I'll start going to everybody in this meeting. Here we go. Yeah. It's exciting. It's not going to be any different if you want his best. We're reading about the best of the best. We're reading about the overcomers in the Old Testament. God has given us the ones that we read about and rejoice in the New Testament. Whether it is the Paul, whether it is a Stephen, a Timothy, Silas. It does not change. The pattern is the same. It's me. It's my grace. I'm going to magnify it. And it's magnified when you're weak, I'm strong. So quit praying, Lord, just one sweet spot. Can I have one pitch down the middle? Rockies are praying for that right now. All right. So brothers and sisters, we wrap it up in this, that the word of the Lord is true. I'm so thankful that it's his word that discerns the intents of the heart. And by his grace, may we trust in him, because he does bring things to light. And he does, because he's light. And truly, as it says, Lord, search me. Search me, O Lord, if there be any wicked way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Amen? That's his will. That's his purpose. That's his promise. God, help us to take the grace. Take the grace. The grace is there. Take the grace to believe it and to live it. Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed.